Morgen, morning everyone that I have not yet seen. Ons is maar lekker min, almal so op 'n lang naweek. Ek dink daar is 'n klomp lang naweek op pad. If I understand April well enough. For those that don't know, we're on a journey. We've been on a journey in the book of Colossians. We finished up the book of Colossians. We felt led to go to the book of Jonah, and we're on this little, small little book with a couple of pages that somehow tests a lot of people's faith. A lot of believers' faith with this little book, Jonah. Het dit regtig gebeur? Was hy regtig in 'n groot vis se maag? Is dit regtig moontlik? And if you ask me, it's quite crazy how it is. If you go and read up about it, there is so much stuff that people are saying about this little book. And it's kind of like a test ground for us as believers. Are we really going to believe it? And so it was interesting for me. I read a little bit further and did a bit of research, and it was, I must be honest with you, it has been rich for me personally. So we're stopping on Jonah 2 at the moment. And before I do that, I just want to give you a bit of biology, if that's okay. I know this is Sunday, but I'm going to give you a bit of biology. But before I do that, I want to make it very, very clear that there is such a beautiful message and an important message apart from a fish swallowing a guy. I know we get all stuck on this idea that there was a fish that swallowed a guy and everyone's trying to figure that out. But I must be honest, there's a way more important message in Jonah 2 apart from a fish swallowing a guy, just to let you know. We're going to get there later. But before we get there, maybe just a bit of biology. So I kind of thought, I've also been tested. Is this really possible? Because I know there's research on a bunch of big fishes or large sea creatures, whales. Is it the whale? Is it a big fish? Is it the that? Is it the this? Now, I know there's a lot of research. Yeah, but it's impossible. The whale's throat is not big enough to swallow a man. Yeah, look. Here's the biology. Here's the sketches. Here's the pictures. And I went and did some research. And it will help you to do the same thing. But I'm going to cut it short and do it for you. So all this research that people have been doing is on a lot of big fishes or whales in the southern hemisphere. And these whales, on their throats is not big enough. And that's why there's a bunch of people that are saying, man, julle mense is mal, dis onmoontlik. But this whole situation with Jonah happened in the Mediterranean. Now there in the Mediterranean, northern hemisphere, you get a whale called a cachalot. It's a sperm whale, cachalot whale. Het gehoor? And so this whale, the sperm whale or cachalot whale, its throat is big enough to take a human being inside. But then it goes further. So between this whale's throat and its stomach, there's this, I've got the word here, it's a long laryngeal or something. There's a long word here, I'm going to find it in a moment, but it's not too important. But there's this pouch between the stomach and the throat. And what this pouch does, it takes in, or the whale comes and takes in a bunch of water, and this water goes into this pouch, and from this pouch it spits out the water, and all the small food, the plankton, and everything that this whale can digest goes through to the stomach. Now that hole from the pouch to the stomach is very small, and so it only allows in the small stuff that it really needs. But all the other stuff that it doesn't need sits in this pouch. But this is also the pouch where it takes in air, because it's a mammal. It's an air-breathing creature. So this is where the air comes in, and here in the pouch, this is where the air distributes to all the other organs and parts of the whale. And the stuff that is left over in this pouch that it doesn't need, it regurgitates it. It brings it back out. And this pouch is large enough for a man. So just biology. And then, so I asked, could it really happen? And so I went to do research. And it could really happen. Then the other question that I asked it, has it ever happened? Apart from this story that we read in Jonah. And you will be surprised that it has. Oh, Rarach. Yeah. So in 17, let me get here quickly. In 17 something, in the 1700s, here it is. I just want to get you. I'm working on my computer this morning, which is different to my eyes. Ah, there it is. In 1758, there was a guy, but they don't have too much record of this guy. They just, it is recorded, and there was someone that was in a whale, but they don't have details. But there's a second time it's happened, or time that it's been recorded. In 1927, this man named James Bartley. So it was this massive ship, and this ship was on its way to harpoon whales. They were catching whales. But they climbed onto a smaller boat, and they went out, a small crew went out to try and catch a whale, harpoon this whale. The whale came, tipped over the boat, and swallowed this guy by the name of James Bartley. Go and Google it. Swallowed him up. The bigger ship came and chased after this whale, caught the whale, harpooned him, bringed it onto the deck, and I think after a couple of days, 3 days, if I understand correctly, cut open the whale to find James Bartley in this pouch. He was unconscious, or they thought he was dead, but to their surprise, this guy came back, he came around, and he lived to tell the story. But his health after that was finished. Sy gesondheid was hy so eintlik so hard nie, and he was completely bleached by the gas and the stuff that was found in this pouch. And this is a true story that really happened. Like, please go and Google it. It's really real. And so if you go look at the biology of the whale, it is 100% possible for a man to be taken into this pouch, and later to be spat out or vomited out or regurgitated out because it wasn't needed. And please don't get me wrong. I don't want to take away from the miracle of what we read in the Bible, because it was an incredible miracle that happened for Jonah. Specifically because he was thrown over, and at that time, this fish came. And the biggest miracle is actually, and this is what we're going to read, not the fact that the fish swallowed a man. And is it a sperm whale? Is it not? I don't know. But at least we know that it is possible by a big fish or a creature. And a lot of people are debating, but it says a big fish. It doesn't say a whale. The only person that recorded this is Jonah. Now, if you ask me, if I'm thrown over a boat and I'm drowning and this creature comes in and I'm in this place, I don't think I'm going to have too much capacity of trying to find out what species I'm sitting in at the moment. I probably would have thought, yes, this is a big fish, a big creature, underwater. I don't think it really matters, to be honest with you. And the people are trying to take away from the beautiful story and the important message that we're actually finding here, and trying to distract us with, was it a whale? Was it a fish? Is it big enough? Is it not? Well, it was definitely possible. And whether it was a whale or a fish, I couldn't be bothered. But it is possible. Okay, so we're going to jump into Jonah 2. And it's an incredible response as a result of what he just went through. And I'm going to highlight a couple of things here. But first, before I do that, we're going to read it. And while you read it, I did a bit of referencing and finding out. And this prayer of Jonah, so what we're going to look at is basically Jonah praying, because that's what Jonah 2 is. It is him being stuck in this sticky situation, and as a result of this distressful moment, he's reaching out to God and he's praying. And so we're going to look at his prayer, because it's quite beautiful and it's good for us too, and I think we can learn a lot from it. But this prayer is a combination of, I think, 10, 11 psalms that we find in the book of Psalms. And it's not full psalms, but it's these snippets from psalms that he's praying. And I don't know about you, if you're a reborn believer and you've been walking with the Lord and been gathering long enough and reading the word long enough, you'll find yourself in a distressful time. You will find yourself praying things that you've read, that you've sang, And it's really a normal practice. I found myself often, when I'm in a distressful moment, I'm thinking of songs that I've said, hymns that I've sung. I'm thinking of scripture. And I think this is what Jonah was going through. It does say that he was a man that loved to go to the temple. He was often in the temple. So he was a man that was familiar with the writings and the hymns that was available to them at times. And now in this distressful moment, he was praying all these psalms. And it's actually very pretty. So before I read it, it's, you know, there's Psalm 18, Psalm 31, Psalm 42, Psalm 69, Psalm 142 that Jonah is busy praying in this moment of distress. And so let's read in Jonah 2. But before I do that, I want to pick up with where Christoph left last week. So he shared on Jonah 1. And as I was preparing, this was the thing that stood out to me that I want to highlight today. And it starts in Jonah 1. And it got me because I realize I find myself there often. It is just after God gives him this instruction to go to Nineveh. And then in verse 3, Jonah 1 in verse 3, it says, and I've got it here, it's not up there, but bear with me, just listen. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He rose up to flee from the presence of the Lord. And now we're going to read, as a result of what he did, that action, that heart attitude. He went to Tarshish, got thrown over the boat. I think we know the story. We heard it last week. He was busy going down, and he was in this moment of distress. And then he goes into this prayer. Let's read it. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. The roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I was a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What I vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So when we read that quickly, we might miss a lot. And I don't want to miss a lot. And so I'm just going to touch on a few things. But maybe just to highlight one thing that stood out for me. For some other reason, he wanted to flee from God's presence. God gave him some sort of instruction, and for whatever reason, whether it was fear, leaning on his own understanding, hy was nie lus nie, hy kan nie nou minder omgee nie, of dalk was hulle net te corrupt, they just too corrupt, I don't want them to have any sort of grace, I'm not going to go. And by doing that, he decided, I want to flee from God's presence. Then this whole thing happened, and you need to know one of his high priorities was, I've been banished from your sight. Go back to that one where he talks about the temple. I think it's the tweede slide, Didi. Nie daai een nie. Kom ek lees het somme. And my prayer rose to you in your holy temple. Go before that. There's another one. Skies jylle, ons gaan nou daar uitkom. Nog. Aha. I said, I've been banished from your sight, yet I will look again to your holy temple. So now in the Old Testament, the temple was the place where the presence of the Lord was. That is where the presence dwelled. He knew what that was like to be in the presence of God. Here he got the instruction, and as a result of whatever reason, whether it was fear, not lust, not keen, he decided, I don't want to go, and as a result of that, I want to flee from God's presence. And then he got stuck into the sticky situation, and while in the situation, he realized one thing. Oh, I'm far from my God. I am far from my God. So did Jonah manage to escape God's presence? No. There's a scripture that says he will never leave or forsake us. And did he manage to escape? No. But there was something that he did that for some reason he was unaware of God's presence now. And I ask myself so often, how often does I read the instruction of the Lord, hear his voice, know that I should do something in line with what God is saying to me, and for some other reason I don't want to do it, I just need listening, it doesn't make sense, and by doing so, I'm becoming unaware of God's presence. And so disobedience does that. And disobedience doesn't always look like this extreme situation in Jonah's life. Any sort of disobedience, whether it is not living according to the word, not being obedient to where he's guiding and showing us, whether it's at the workplace, in my family, however that may look, there's this fruit of disobedience, which is, oh, Lord, I'm far from you. I feel that I'm not in your presence. And I'm not sure about you, but I've come across times in my life where I've really had this longing here inside that I cannot really put my finger on. This longing of, sure, Lord, what is it? There's got to be something more. And I realize at times that I'm so unaware of his presence that is actually with me, but for whatever reason, I feel far from it. And Jonah was in this situation as a result of his disobedience. So often we focus on Jonah's story, this disobedient guy that should have gone to Nineveh, and that's right, it is part of the story. But in Jonah 2, what I'm reading here is a guy that realized, Lord, I miss you. I miss you. I've been banished out of your sight, but I will praise in the temple again. I will be back in your presence. And this is the miracle that happened with this whole fish. This is the large miracle that I see, the response. In his distress, a very normal practice. When you are in distress, somehow you remember. And it says there with Jonah, he remembered the Lord. He remembered the Lord. What? So I'm going to focus a little bit on this scripture from verse 4 to 7. I wish I had the numbers there on this slide, but it doesn't. So I'm just going to go there. And I'm going to read out of this translation. And I encourage you guys to go in your small groups there at home, read in a couple of translations. Because in the King James, in the New King James, it talks about being away from his presence and then coming back to his presence. And so this is the key that we're going to be looking at this morning. Away from his presence, back to his presence. And as a result of being back in his presence, oh Lord, I will go to Nineveh, no problem. Okay. So I'm going to read here quickly from in the New King James, from verse 2. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your billows, your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temples. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you in your holy temple. So I want to highlight these two. What are the things that we know we should do? That we ought to do, that is good for us because it's an instruction from the Lord. And not only good for us, but good for those around us. And when we lean on our understanding, have fear, don't want to, need listening, for whatever reason, are we somehow unaware of God's presence? And what is God allowing or willing to allow in our lives so that we'll come back to that place of remembrance? That I will remember. Verse 7, I remembered what will it take for us to truly remember? I think the Lord, to be honest with you, I wonder if Jonah was by a spite na die tijd. Daar waar hij was by Nineveh. Because if I understand correctly, he didn't need to be swallowed up in a fish. He could have just gone to Nineveh. And the Nineveh thing is not the focus here. It is part of it because God's heart is so for Nineveh as well. But if I understand from Jonah's thing is, for some other reason, his distress was that he was far from God. And the result was later in the scripture where he says, and you don't, if you go and read a little bit further into different translations, it says, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. And just before that, those who regard worthless idols. So he was talking about Nineveh here. This is after this whole process where he realizes, I was far from him. Now I'm back with him. I didn't know of his presence, or I fled from his presence. Now I'm back in his presence. And as a result of this time of being away from God, he understood something of mercy. And in different translations, he said, I will go to those who seek mercy, who need mercy, and I will go with love. I will go easily because I know what it's like to be without mercy, without your presence. And he said, I will go to Nineveh, no problem. And there was this first-hand experience as a result of him being far from God. And so I guess Jonah too, for me personally, and I'm asking this, and I think we can get practical with it, is what are the things that the Lord is instructing us? Easy as that. What are the things that I'm getting involved with today, yesterday, the past weeks, the past months, that was an instruction from the Lord? Whether it's even reading through his word and saying, sure, my life is not in line with what I'm reading here. And when that becomes a lifestyle of just leaning on my own understanding, for whatever reason, I don't want to, I'm not going to, or I'm too busy to, or whatever the reason is slowly but surely not fleeing from his presence, but being unaware of his presence. And living in today's age by just going with emotion, knowing what to say, but doing it without, completely engulfed in his presence, being led by him, his spirit. What are those things? What are those things in your life, my life? And if you're in a position where you are somehow saying, Lord, there's got to be more. I think you are asking, I want to be closer. That's what we need to be saying to ourselves. Yes, there's more and going to Nineveh and the instruction from the Lord, but that happens as a result of being close, as a result of realizing how far I am. And so the miracle here for me is definitely, yes, here was a guy that was swallowed by a big fish. That's crazy. But the miracle for me is that the Lord was willing to go through that so that he would realize, I'm far from you, God. And this was a man who went to the temple often. Before this happened, he knew all the things. He knew all the hymns, the psalms, the ways, the terminology, the good things to say. But for some other reason, he came to the point of disobedience in a large thing. And I find it with myself. I've been in the church for long enough. I gather with people weekly. I know the right things to say. But am I truly obedient to where the Lord is leading me? Am I truly in a place where I hear his voice and I'm desiring to live according to this word? Or am I truly in a place where I slowly but surely conform to the patterns of this world, lean on my own understanding, have fear, don't respond, and slowly but surely become unaware of this incredible presence of God that is always with me, but I become unaware. I become numb to His presence. I don't know if you felt like that before. God is never leaving us and nor forsaking us, but I have realized with my own life that I become numb, that I'm not aware, that I'm too busy. And I think this was the greatest thing for God in Jonah's life, that he came back to his senses and he said, I remembered the Lord. I desired to be back in his temple, or in other words, I desired to be back in his presence. And after this massive experience with God and this realization that he was far from God and now he was close, he said, Lord, I will go to Nineveh. I will do as you said. I will pay my vow that I promised. But he definitely went with a different heart attitude, with a first-hand experience of being far from God and now close to God. And Nineveh, as Christoph mentioned, was a crooked place. And the beautiful thing of the story that later Jesus refers to Jonah and he says, listen, I want to compare myself to Jonah. Just as I was in the tomb for 3 days, I will rise with a message and a way for you guys to come back to me. And that was this comparison that Jesus was referring to. Jonah in the belly for 3 days, going to this crooked people with the message of salvation and repentance. And there's something of a heart attitude that needs to happen within us. And for me personally, it's got something to do with this intimate, beautiful, living, talking, living, real relationship with our God. And so I want to encourage us in a few things. As Jonah, a man that walked with God in his presence for a long time, he was able to flee from God's presence too. But in the midst of his fleeing, in his distress, he referred back to everything that he knew. He prayed the Psalms. He prayed this prayer with a deep longing to be in his presence. And so, go read Psalms. Read it every day. You'll be equipped to pray. I say equipped to pray, but you'll have a heart to pray. The Psalms is covering all your emotions, everything that you are feeling and not feeling. And so read the Psalms like him. But if you ask me, you will see also later in Jonah 4 that, yes, see, the guy fell again with his heart attitude. He really fell back into this hardkoppig, stubborn, and you got to wonder, did he really repent while he was in the belly's fish? But he did. Sorry. In the fish's belly. The big fish, the large creature. And I think he did. And I think if you ask me, I go through this often. I find myself constantly far from or unaware and then back. And then repenting and saying, Lord, I miss you. I long to be in your presence. I want to be back in that place again. And a couple of weeks go by and time goes by and I just find myself back in this pattern of disobedience. Not doing what he said I should do. And so maybe let's just have a time of being still and really asking the Lord, Lord, is there, or first of all, am I in a position where I really truly know that I'm in your presence? I think we know that. I think we all know that that's what Scripture says, that he'll never leave or forsake us. But are we living out of that place? Am I loving my children out of that place? Am I working in my business? Am I serving the people out of that place? Am I going to the Nineveh as a result of straightforward instruction, I know what I need to do, or am I doing it out of a place of, Lord, I know what it's like to be without your mercy. I felt far from you. I know they are far from you. And as a result of that, I will go. I will share that message. I will do as you say, because I know what it's like. I had a first-hand experience. And so is there things that you can recall? I know the Lord led me in this way. I know I should have done that, but I didn't. And I guess what Christoph said last week, it was, there's maybe many, but repentance is the great way back to his presence, is to truly realize what I have done was hurting you and it was bad for those around me and it was bad for me too. I repent. But that repentance wasn't just a nice prayer. It went into action. And as a result of that action, we stay aware, close in his presence. And so if we have to hear anything out of Jonah 2, I just want to say it over and over again, this word presence. Are we too busy? Are we running in 100 million directions, doing 100 million things that is slowly but surely numbing the reality that this Almighty God, the one who created everything, the one who knows all, is truly with us? Or are we just cupping on, just being another Christian? I pray that we would be like the Jonah afterwards, having an afterward experience, and truly be in a place where we are fully aware of this presence of God. And so maybe, Didi, is our klein likkie daar, net so ietsie van die background? Is our... So I just want to give us an opportunity where the Lord, and this is for me too, where the Lord can really speak to me. What is the things that he instructed? Just a time of stillness. And if you long, or if you're in a position now, we say, I'm quite unaware, I'm not sure of his presence. Then maybe it's maybe there's something that we need to identify and repent. Oh, Lord, I know that you said I should do that, or I live in this way, and you're telling me to leave that way, but I don't understand it, I don't want to, but I'm... And I want you to, just in your quiet time, just before the Lord, repent of it. Because if you would know what it tastes like to be in his presence, you would really long for it. And Jonah really knew what God's presence was like. And if you've never been in a place where you said, yes, I've never experienced God's presence, then ask him to help you. But you that have been reborn and you know what it's like to be close to God and far from God, and if there's possibly something that's causing this separation, may he help us with this, and may we be like Jonah and repent and say, Here, I want to come back to you. So let's have a time of stillness. I will pray for us, and let's be practical with it. Is there things that we know God has instructed us, that he's led us, that he showed us, and for some other reason, we decided not to follow? And as a result of not following, unaware of who he is in our life, how he's leading us, his desire for kingdom to come. Oh God, it's such a simple message. It's such a simple message that Jonah is expressing through his story, of knowing what it's like to be close to you and knowing what it's like to be far from you. And that disobedience is one of the things that's keeping us away from you and your presence, or anyways making us unaware and numb. And so please show us as individuals, is there anything in our life that you've shown us, that you've made clear, but for some other reason, like Jonah, we've decided not to obey? And as a result of that, feel far from you, unaware. We don't want to be far from you, we want to be close. We want to be aware of your presence, and we want to be led by your presence. And so I ask that you will just show us, just for a couple of minutes, Lord, is there anything? Is there anything that you want us to repent of? So that we could be a people who walk in your presence. And as a result of that, go to the Nineveh with your message and your ways, your lifestyle, your heart. want to make it very practical as well. As I'm thinking, and I know the Lord has instructed me to be a certain way with my wife. Made it very clear, but I haven't. And as a result of that, I become numb to His presence. I flee from His presence. And so I just have on my heart as well, if you are feeling that you are far from God, and maybe you don't know why, maybe there's nothing that comes up, I just want to pray with you. Maybe you can just put up your hand and I can pray with you if you're feeling far. And we just keep our eyes closed and that we trust the Lord for a breakthrough in our hearts, that we will know, that we know that God is pursuing us so that we'll be back in His presence. That is His desire above all else. So just be bold and say, I don't feel close to God. Jesus, I pray that we would not be too hard on ourselves, but that we would also be in a place of responding, being aware and responding. We know that you are pursuing us day and night, not so that we can be obedient only, but so that we can be close to you. Thank you that you are willing to go and allow anything to go through you, allow whatever it is for your people to go through so that we would remember. And I pray for every individual here this morning that feels far from you, Lord. I pray that there will be a breakthrough in each heart as there was for Jonah, where they came back to the point of remembering who you are. That they remembered the Lord and at the end said, "Oh Lord, my God." That there was a true realization that you are close, back in your presence. I also ask, Lord, to show practically if there's anything that needs to be repented of. Please show it clearly. And thank you for your kindness, Lord, that brings us to repentance. We know that it's your kindness that brings us there. We know that your heart for your people is to be intimate with you. And out of that place, that we would go to the Nineveh, that we would respond in obedience, but that it would be out of a place of intimacy with you in your presence. Thank you, Jesus, that we can pray with the confidence so that we can come confidently to your throne room as a result of the finished work of the cross. And so I just pray this for us this morning, that we would be protected from the schemes and the strategies that the enemy has to steal, kill, and destroy from us being in your presence. I pray that as we leave here today, we would be aware that you are always with us, but that we would also be aware that there is things that we can do and not do that will make us numb to your presence. We don't want to live that way, Lord. We want to live close to you. We want to operate out of that place. And so thank you that we'll be able to look back and testify, "Ah, Lord, my God, I'm back in your holy temple," as Jonah prayed. "I'm back with you. I'm close. I experience you and I love living with you." I pray that this will be the testimony on many's lips, as it was for Jonah, that we are reading years and years and years later now. Thank you that we can pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.